Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey Tommy, can you believe that we've done 5 episodes of Talking Cars?
I can, because we spent 5 hours doing them.
And this by far is going to be the best show we've done because we have a very special guest. You know who that is?
Yeah, we are talking to the head of Jeep in North America here, Jim Morrison.
Yep, Jim is going to be on the show, and we're going to, of course, delve deeply into all things Jeep in this episode. And more importantly, we're going to find out what is happening with not just Jim, but with the brand, where Jeep is going, and where do we expect to see Jeep in 5-10 years from now, or at least as much as he'll tell us.
Yeah, we're going to try to pry out every bit of information that he'll let us. And hopefully we'll get you guys some juicy new knowledge on where Jeep is going as a brand.
Yeah, but before we do that, let's take a walk behind the scenes, Tommy, and kind of give these guys probably the most exciting Jeep adventure and story we've done over the last 10 years. And that, of course, is Motor Mountain USA. And Tommy, what was that crazy thing we did with the Wrangler about 5 years ago?
Well, the idea was to drive a Jeep to the 50 highest drivable points in all 50 states over the course of a year. So we took this red Unlimited Rubicon and just kind of hit the road. And we hit all 50 states, you know, in the contiguous U.S., as well as Alaska and Hawaii in this Wrangler.
Sit back and relax, or keep driving if you're driving. TFL Talking Cars is on the air, the world's most popular car podcast. Okay, maybe not yet, but we're working on it. It was quite an adventure, and we learned a lot about the Wrangler, and we learned a lot about ourselves, and we learned a lot about America. And so let's talk about some of the highlights and some of the lowlights of going to all of the highest 50 points in all 50 states. And I'll start with the lowlights. The way that we did this was we broke the continental U.S. up into 4 quadrants, right? So we didn't do it all at once. So we did the Northwest, Northeast, the Southwest, and the Southeast, and hit all the states in 2 weeks of driving and getting about, 20 or 25 states. And I suspect the most interesting one was where Nathan and Andre went to the highest point in Florida. You know what the highest point in Florida is?
It's not that impressive, if I recall.
Yeah, it's like a dog park in the panhandle. It's like 300 feet above sea level, and the cool thing about all these places is that there's usually like a U.S. Geological Survey marker that you can find when you go to these places that gives you the elevation and gives you kind of the fact that you are there. And a lot of these places also, when you reach the highest point, have like a little box where people have gone and they've signed their name and they've kind of, you know, done a little story where they came from and where they were going. And in Florida, we were trying to geocache this belt buckle that we had done for the series, right? So we decided that to get our viewers interested in it, we would make this very expensive Western belt buckle, which costs like $150 out of gold and platinum, that would be made for each state. And then we would geolocate these. In other words, we would hide them with a Motor Mountain USA t-shirt someplace, and then when the video came out, we would give you the coordinates, so whoever was first to watch the video and go to that park or go to that place would get that. And by the time we had driven down to Florida, people had figured out that this is what we were doing, right?
Right.
And so, you know, we were trying to hide these things in like bushes and, you know, in
under rocks
and in sand.
Yeah,
and it's really hard to do that in a little dog park in Florida. And so Nathan and Andre were driving around and somebody figured out that we had the Motor Mountain Jeep, because, of course, it said Motor Mountain on them, and they couldn't lose this person who kept driving around and around following them as they were trying to hide this geocache, this stash of, you know, belt buckle, t-shirt, and I think there was a sticker in there as well.
We should explain, it wasn't made out of real gold and platinum.
It was!
It wasn't like $15,000
worth of belt buckle. It was a $150 belt buckle. I mean, there
not
was
$150,000.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't all gold. It was gold leaf and platinum, but they were really cool.
And then the other cool part is, once people would find the belt buckle, we'd ask them to take a picture of them and send us the image that they took with the belt buckle, and if they had a Jeep, with the Jeep. And I'm looking at the page right now on TFL Car, and I think we have just about 45 states and 45 different pictures of people and their Jeeps or their families actually claiming these buckles. And there's some that went missing and some that were taken without being registered, right? But the cool thing about this was it kind of brought some community members together, and it was like an exciting scavenger hunt, because if we could, we'd hide them off-road in kind of tricky to find locations. And it was just it was an all-around great time, but definitely without its challenges, because when we're driving 40,000 miles in a year in a Wrangler, you know, and through blizzards and across deserts in the summer, there's definitely some interesting memories to be had.
Yeah, and keep in mind, guys, we drove it to the highest drivable point, not to the highest point, right? So like in Alaska, which is a really cool state that me and you got to do, we didn't drive to the top of Denali, which is the highest point in Alaska, but we drove to the top of Adigan Pass, yeah, which is on the Dalton Highway going up to Prudhoe Bay. And let's talk about the adventure we had up there. Do you remember when we So first of all, when you go on the Dalton Highway, right, it's a 500-mile stretch of road that basically follows the Alaskan pipeline. So oil is drilled and gotten from the ground up Prudhoe Bay, and then it goes via the pipeline all the way down to, I think, Fairbanks, and then beyond Fairbanks to some place where it's actually distilled. And so basically that highway is used for trucks running up and down with refined oil to then make the refiner, then make the oil exploration and production work up in Prudhoe Bay. So it's basically a dirt road that 175 or 180 trucks go up and down every day. And these trucks do not stop.
Yeah, and they have to keep moving and moving and moving, because in order to suck the oil out of the ground, they need machinery that uses diesel and gasoline.
Right.
And they run pretty much 24/7 along the Ice Road Truckers Road. So they actually filmed Ice Road Truckers at this location, and it's in the very northern tip of Alaska. It is incredibly remote. It's in the Arctic Circle, actually. And it's hard to get to, especially in the winter. Now, we drove it, I think, in August, there was no snow.
Yeah, we drove it in August, and it was still pretty cold. I think it was, like, in the 60s. And it was at a time when we had, like, 20 hours of sun. And the crazy part was, when you go on the Dalton Highway, they tell you, first of all, you will break a windshield because the trucks throw up these rocks, right?
Yeah.
And how long were we on the Dalton Highway before our windshield got hit?
Well, the first 3 or 4 miles are paved, and then about 26 seconds into the unpaved part, we immediately shattered the windshield.
Yeah, a truck came by and threw up a rock the size of a softball. I thought it was going to land in my face, and luckily it hit the bottom of the windshield frame and shattered the windshield. But if it had, I think, hit the windshield itself in the middle of it, it would have been ugly. And these trucks don't stop, right? They're flying down the road like 75 miles an hour and just throwing up all kinds of rocks. The second thing they say that you need is an additional spare tire.
Yep, additional spare tire, additional fuel, and a CB radio.
Yeah, because from Fairbanks to the midpoint, what was that town called?
Ooh, Dead Horse?
No, that's not Dead Horse. No, definitely not Dead Horse.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm positive about that. Yeah, anyway, it's also the longest stretch of American highway without a fuel stop. So you have to be able to go about 250 miles.
Dead Horse is a town in Prudhoe Bay.
Yeah, it's not it, no. It's the one in the middle.
It's the truck. Coldfoot.
Yeah, Coldfoot. It's Coldfoot. And Coldfoot is basically this truck stop in the middle between Fairbanks and Prudhoe Bay where you can get dinner, you can find a hotel room, and you can buy gas. And I remember, because it's so far in the middle of nowhere, you can buy gas at like $5 a gallon. And you can buy it or you don't, right?
Oh, it was more than that. It was like $9 a gallon. It was crazy.
Yeah, you can get dinner. I remember dinner at that truck stop was like $35 a person, and you could have dinner or not.
Yeah.
And you can stop basically at this hotel, which is basically like a double wide trailer where you get like one little room for like 300 a night, and you could sleep there or not.
And the thing is you have to fill up at Coldfoot, the halfway point, in order to get to Dead Horse at Prudhoe Bay.
Right.
Because it's a 240 stretch route with no services whatsoever. So you want to have a little bit of reserve in the tank in case you need to, you know, fix something or whatever to get to Dead Horse at Prudhoe Bay, because if you don't, you're going to be really stranded. And
so I was feeling really kind of like hardcore, right? We're in this Wrangler. We've got our spare tire. We've got a CB radio in case something goes wrong. We've got our bear spray because there's all kinds of wild animals. Feeling like, hey, I'm doing something really, you know, like exploring the Arctic Circle, which, by the way, you go past, right? You go into the Arctic Circle.
Yep.
And so we get to Coldfoot, and I look up, and there's this guy in a Miata, Tommy. Remember this? A guy in a Miata that's covered in mud with a spare tire in the passenger seat, because that's the only place you could put it.
Yeah.
Like a giant mud ball that's coming down from Prudhoe Bay. And my ego just went... You know, I'm in a Wrangler. This guy's in a Miata convertible covered in mud. You know who that was, right?
Yeah, it was Tom Ford, who was writing for Top Gear UK magazine. He was doing a story about driving a Miata to Prudhoe Bay. Really, really interesting guy, and it was a really cool story. And it goes to show, like, the road is dirt, right? And there's washboards and potholes and whatever. But you can do it in just about any car if you're brave enough and if you have enough spare tires.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he was doing. Now, the interesting thing about some of the stretches, right, is the second day we were out there.
Right. So let's talk about it. We drove up to Coldfoot, which is 250 miles about, the first day. And then we ran into Top Gear. And then we stayed at that $300 a night double wide, right? And then the next day we were going to drive to Prudhoe Bay and spend the night at Prudhoe Bay. But what did we end up doing?
Well, we read that we had to if we didn't want to get stuck on the highway in the dark, which we didn't. But by the time we got to Prudhoe Bay, we were making such good time. It was like 1 o'clock p.m., right?
Yeah.
So we decided just to cannonball all the way back to Fairbanks on the dirt road.
So that day we drove 750 miles.
Mm-hmm. It was a long day.
And got back to Fairbanks at like 3 in the morning, which is still light out.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was.
Oh, kind of light out.
Sort
of. Yeah, and the reason we didn't stay at Prudhoe Bay is because there's not a hell of a lot to do up in Prudhoe Bay. It's just mining town, right? There's unless you're there, like, actually mining. And remember the craziest thing? So we're getting, you know, we're feeling like, you know, this is adventure. We're way into the Arctic Circle. We're going as far north as anybody ever has in a Wrangler. And the Wrangler did really well, by the way. It was the old JK, Rubicon. You know, didn't mind the mud, didn't mind the dirt, just kept trudging along.
It did really well. It got a little bit hung up on the endless miles of washboard.
Yeah,
the washboard. Solid axles kind of got a little freaked out after 50 miles of just constant vibration. But the crazy thing is it's kind of like a classic adventure road. So you see a lot of dirt bikes. You see some crazy people on mountain bikes. And we actually saw a guy in a unicycle.
That's right. Yeah, like 50 miles outside of Prudhoe Bay, there's this dude from India who's like on a unicycle. He flew into Prudhoe Bay and he was going to ride his unicycle, his off-road unicycle, like 500 miles back down to Fairbanks. And there are bears, there are musk, there are wolves, there are coyotes. We saw wolves.
Well, you know why he did that, right?
Because he was crazy?
No, because he was trying to get from the highest point in North America to the southernmost point in South America.
To Terra de Fuego.
Yeah, so he's going to ride his bike or his unicycle all the way down. 40 miles in, he was looking pretty cooked. So I'd be curious to see if he ended up making it. Hopefully in, what was it, 5 years since we did that, he made it down.
And if you guys want to see actually that dude and you want to see our adventure, just go to TFL Car and just do a search for Motor Mountain USA, and you'll see every highest point in America that we reached in our Wrangler.
Yeah, it was really cool and definitely an adventure worth doing if you ever have the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that was probably, you know, a test by fire in terms of getting to know a brand and a Jeep, just because, you know, we spent so much time in that vehicle driving across all of America. And the other cool thing we did, we actually went to Hawaii and went to the highest point on the Big Island as well and got to drive from ocean to mountaintop to snow on the Big Island.
We did, yeah. And that one we actually decided to rent a Jeep just because of the shipping cost was enormous.
Yeah.
And
you can rent them pretty easily.
Yeah, super
Wranglers,
easily.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know, I was pretty young at the time, so I only went along with some of the adventures because I was still in high school. But Nathan and Andre, they did the entire Midwest.
Yep.
They had some adventures with Emmy Hall, too. Yep. Do you remember Emmy?
Yep. And they actually took this little pop-up trailer that the Jeep gave us, because initially we thought we would camp the whole time, and we would tow a trailer behind us. So they actually took it on the Rubicon Trail. And believe me, pulling a trailer on the Rubicon Trail, even in a Rubicon Wrangler, is not something that I would recommend, even with a pintle hitch, which is the kind of hitch you need to get the trailer over the Rubicon Trail. So they were pretty adventurous to do that.
Yep, and I remember Nathan almost got assaulted in Roswell, New Mexico.
What happened?
Remember that? He went to like some really sketchy truck stop where they were going to try to do like a video with these aliens and souvenirs and whatever. And the guys were just very very Roswellian,
yeah,
put it friendly, and they were not too pleased about his cameras.
Yeah, so we had, a boatload of adventures. I think we did 50 videos for each of the 50 states. And, yeah, go check that out. I'm really proud of the fact that the whole team came together and did that and brought the Jeep community with us.
Yeah, so now I think it's time to actually call the big cheese.
Yep.
Jim, and see what's going on with the future of Jeep and what's in the works.
All right, Tom, you guess who's on the phone?
Well, it's a Jeep hero if you're a Jeep fan.
It's Jim. Hey, Jim. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us. This is Jim Morrison, who is head of Jeep for North America. So how are you doing, Jim? Are you okay? Is your family okay?
You know, we're doing well, adjusting a little bit to, this life at home. You know, I find myself with my commute going from, 25 minutes to 3 seconds as I go from my kitchen over to my desk. I even find myself driving around the yard in my Gladiator, finding excuses to put stuff in the truck to take it from my house over to the barn, just so you can say you've been in the car. But it's a different world, and we're making the adjustments we need to, but it's certainly a different way to look at the world right now.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I was just reading about recently is that FCA, right, the parent company of Jeep, of course, Fiat Chrysler, is helping out in many different ways. Let's talk about that. So I read that you guys are helping to feed kids. What are you doing?
Well, there's feeding kids, because that's, really important with a lot of kids, out of school and kind of looking forward to going to school to get a solid set of meals in a day. So we're helping out that way. We've also, are producing masks and helping distribute masks to people in need, the hospitals and the first responders. To help with protection against the virus, and even have some of the engineers over in Italy and kind of kicked off with the Ferrari guys, to help with the ventilators. So kind of a lot of hard work to be proud of as far as being part of the Fiat Chrysler group.
Yeah, and it's got to be especially daunting to be, a company that is kind of headquartered in both Italy and in North America, where, we're now the two hardest hit areas of the world in some ways, and China, for the coronavirus. So that's got to be especially challenging. I'm sure you guys are pulling out your hair trying to figure out, how you move ahead and when you move ahead. That's got to be, you're making light of it, but I would assume there's a lot of serious discussions taking place on how we get through this.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a serious topic. And, one of the things we have been learning is, as how, the customers and the employees, over in Italy have, they're further along with it. So we're learning, from them how to cope and work with what's going on, for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk about kind of incentives. I just read that there's some great incentives out there right now. If you want to buy a Jeep, in the places you can still buy a Jeep, what are you guys doing there? How are you kind of helping to take the sting out of the tail for a lot of people?
Well, what's really interesting is, we've kind of looked at what the customers, really need help with right now. And yeah, a lot of that is kind of payment deferrals. So, starting with our customers that, that have Jeeps with us today, if they need help with deferrals, we're kind of working with them. If they've don't have an income for the next few months, we're trying to sort out ways to work around that with them. And then if you're still in the marketplace for a new vehicle, And there's a lot of parts of the country that are still, you know, pretty active in shopping. You know, we've got some really good deals out there. We've got 0% for 84 months, which, you know, is kind of a new but long deal for vehicles. We just put that on Grand Cherokee here a couple of weeks ago, and we had a really good Grand Cherokee close to the month here just yesterday, and a lot of people are still looking for deals. And then making no payments available for them for 90 days. So kind of getting them outside of the uncertain period. You know, a lot of people, you know, if their leases are coming up, if they're, you know, looking for different options, we're trying to be very easy to do business with, as well as we've set up a new online retailing system. If you go into Jeep.com and, you know, kind of scroll down, you can see, you know, some of the things that we're doing with the online shopping and driveway delivery now for customers. So, you know, really easy. You can go through the whole experience online, you know, trade your car, get the credit all looked after, and then, you know, look out to your driveway and you've got a new Jeep sitting there. So it's a nice process that we've kind of pulled forward that we were working on to make it, usable and helpful in this time with the virus.
Yeah, it was crazy because I was looking, you know, we do numbers at the beginning of the month. And today, of course, when this is being recorded, is the beginning of the month. And actually, I was astounded to see that a lot of vehicles and specifically trucks have been up through March, which is incredible. You know, the Ram brand is doing really well. And you would think that, sales of vehicles would take a nosedive because in a lot of places, of course, dealerships are closed. And yet, it's been pretty astounding to see that, certain vehicles are not just doing well, but are actually doing better than expected.
Yeah, Texas specifically hasn't, you know, really slowed down to the degree that the rest of the country has. So, a lot of trucks are sold in Texas, about a quarter of them. So, you know, that really has made the truck side of the business. And we've seen it with Gladiator as well. You know, we're continuing to roll pretty hard with Gladiator, even though it's a downturn in the business. But one of the things that is really, you know, kind of fun to watch is the overall demand is continuing to grow. And, you know, for a brand like Jeep that has got, you know, American and family and freedom kind of at the core of its being, you know, those are the three things that really resonate well with Americans. And I don't know if you saw it a couple of days ago, but there was a new, study that came out. It was done by younggov.com, and they said, you know, Jeep consideration is trending up more than any other brand in America right now from those people that were looking forward to buying a vehicle over the next 12 months. So, you know, I think, you know, for a brand that kind of started, you know, in need with a war, you know, it knows how to pull through the long term and really help wave the American flag, which, you know, a lot of customers want to do.
Do you think that once we get through the back end of this, that there's going to be some pent-up demand, not just for Jeeps in general, but in terms of, I know I'm feeling it, you know, the demand to go out and get the heck out of town and explore, you know, the wonders that is America, right, all of our national parks. Do you think that's a potential silver lining to this dark cloud that we're living through right now?
Yeah, you know, for sure, I think we really are expecting something like that, Roman. And it's either, you know, the people of, you know, that were, you know, expected to be out in Moab this week. In fact, if you remember that, a couple of years ago, you and your gang and me and my gang were hanging out at Milt's, I think, for a burger out of Moab. Yeah. And, you know, whether it's that or, you know, taking the Jeep on the trail or just, you know, taking your top off and doors off and just, you know, enjoying the freedom. You know, I do think once, you know, the world kind of settles down and gets some stability, I think we're indeed going to be looking at, some pent-up demand, kind of people looking to celebrate and get back to normal.
Yeah, before we get into, I want to talk about kind of specific vehicles that we have here at the office, and we've got two, and I want to kind of talk about them. We've got the new Wrangler diesel, which is pretty cool, and we've done a bunch of videos with that, and of course the new Mojave, which kind of the desert runner version of the Gladiator. But how's Mark doing? I mean, I was so bummed out to hear that, you know, Mark Allen, who's the chief designer for Jeep, every year at the Easter Jeep Safari, brings out, you know, let's say, a half a dozen concepts, which then foreshadow the future and pay homage to the past of the brand. He's got to be super bummed that you guys couldn't go and do it this year. It's you know, and it's unusual for a brand to actually do something like the Easter Jeep Safari, right? It's kind of, I think, in a way, the magic sauce behind Jeep, and that is that you guys really listen to your customers.
Yeah, you know, I think, and you know, talking to Mark here this morning, and trying to find ways to still do the cool things with the concepts, because the story behind the story is we've got a bunch of them ready to go. You know, I think the paint was drying on a couple, as they always are, kind of the last few minutes. But you know, we were ready to roll with kind of our best round of concepts yet. So we're kind of sorting out what to do with those here over the next little bit as we come back online. But you know, talking to Mark and trying to figure out the best way to do that is all part of, and maybe we go back to Moab, maybe we go different parts of the world, but I think, you know, connecting with our customers is still going to be key through those vehicles. So we'll look forward to trying to do some more of that later.
Yeah. Any like thought of doing like a Labor Day Jeep Safari instead of an Easter Jeep Safari? Is that, you know, because like a lot of we have a 10K race here, which happens on Memorial Day, which isn't going to happen, and they moved it to Labor Day. Same thing with the Olympics. Have you guys given any thought to actually, you know, trying to move it into the fall when hopefully things are back to business as usual?
Well, yeah, the Red Rock Wheelers are they're
the guys
the local
who run it. Yeah,
group that the Jeep group that runs it. And you know, we'll see what makes the most sense for everybody. But what was interesting is the government had to actually shut down all the hotels because they and outlawed camping and outlawed people coming in because they were, you know, really thinking that no matter what they did, the Jeep folks are going to show up in Moab. So, you know, I think we were all trying to hold it together to some degree right up until the last minute. But you know, when the Utah government, you know, came down, you know, we have to really pay attention to staying inside. And I think some of our social posts, if you go on and look at some of the things that we've done on our Facebook pages and Instagram, we've really, you know, tried to encourage the fact that, you know, hey, the trails are going to be there for us in the end. But, you know, now is really the time to respect what's being asked of us and stay inside. So, you know, it's certainly building in all of us, and you know, the freedom will eventually break out when the time's appropriate, and I think it'll be fun when it does.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, I am going stir crazy, and it's you know, great to actually have a Jeep at the office right now, and it's great to have one that's you know, a diesel. And let's talk about the diesel Jeep, Tommy. You know, it's funny. I'm going to be completely upfront with you. When I first went on the program for that Jeep, I kind of fell in love with it. And then when we got it here at the office, I was like, it's kind of heavy. The payload's not great. And we did some drag racing with it. It was pretty fast. And then it went away. And then we got it back. And I've been kind of, you know, driving. You know, it's only me and Tommy here at the office, so we're social distancing ourselves as family.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But since we live together, I think it's okay that we work out of the same office together. But I've been really enjoying that Jeep. It's got a ton of torque. It sounds badass. It goes forever. What do you think of that Jeep, Tommy, now that we're driving it around?
Well, Jim, kind of talk about the market behind that Wrangler. You know, why does it exist? Who's it for?
Well, Tommy, that actually has got a little bit of history to even back when I was at Jeep the first time. Is that was the number one request from our customers. They wanted us to put the diesel in a Wrangler. And, you know, what they were looking for was the ultimate in torque. And what we ended up doing is getting a really good package that's easy to live with every day. You know, the Sport of the Sahara gets 29 miles per gallon on the highway, you know, 550 miles range. You know, along with delivering the incredible torque that makes that Rubicon just unbelievable. And I think, you know, my best experience with that was actually on the Rubicon Trail when I got all the way up, you know, Cadillac Hill in 4 high.
Wow.
It had so much torque. It would just walk its way up the rocks. But I think what was really cool is, you know, 2 hours from Lake Tahoe into the Rubicon, you know, 2 days across the Rubicon and then 2 hours back to Tahoe, and still at half a tank of fuel. So, you know, anything else that has got that kind of torque on the trail usually has a couple of jerry cans, you know, in order to get it through the trail, let alone get it, you know, from home, you know, through the trail and back to home. So, you know, I think that was, you know, just proof that our customers knew what they were asking for. And we were happy to deliver it with the EcoDiesel Wrangler. It's going to be good, especially when we add that into the Gladiator later in the year as well.
Yeah, now, go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, in previous generations, Jim, like, you know, in Europe, you could go out and buy a diesel Wrangler with a little four-cylinder 2.8 liter. What was kind of the thinking behind putting the latest EcoDiesel in it versus, you know, carrying over one of the smaller displacement diesels or one of the ones that's been available abroad?
You know, it was really about the amount of torque that went with those engines wasn't enough, we didn't think, for what the customers were asking us for. So you're right, they were available in Europe for a while with the 2.8 and the smaller diesels, but we really wanted to go all out with, you know, delivering a package that was fun to drive. It's the number one reason people buy a Wrangler, is to have fun and to really, you know, provide the torque that adds the capability, because that's the most capable Wrangler we've ever done now, and then at the same time deliver some, you know, great fuel economy and things that are really easy for customers to live with, whether they're, you know, filling up the Wrangler, you know, once a month now in the winter with fuel, you know, or taking it on the trail or just using it as an everyday driver like you guys are now.
Yeah, and the cool thing, you know, to me, the magic in that Jeep is if you really want to build out your rig to something that, you know, is personalized, inevitably, if you end up putting on bigger wheels, bigger tires, you end up running out of power, right? Just because you need more power, more torque to push bigger tires. And this Jeep has so much torque that you can pretty much go crazy with it without having to actually go to the aftermarket and start doing things like, you know, adding superchargers or turbochargers to the Pentastar, which is cool, which is really cool.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, yeah, you can put a lift and 37s on that thing and it doesn't even slow down and know that it's got them on. So it's great to have all that torque on tap.
Now, we were lucky enough, and thank you for sending us to Mojave. We got that before it all kind of came tumbling down, and we did take it on the trail, Tommy, and we did a video where we kind of compared the Mojave to the Gladiator, trail-rated Rubicon, right? And the idea for the, well, why don't you tell us what the idea for the Mojave is? Where did that come from, and who's the buyer for that?
Well, you know what, when we look at Mojave was an example of us listening to our customers, and you look at the modifications they're doing to the Wranglers and even some of the early Gladiators. You know, we actually even ran had some success at Baja with winning a couple of classes with early production Gladiators earlier, you know, and you know, working over slow over rocks is kind of what Jeep has always been known for, and that's, you know, our trail rated and our Rubicon. So really kind of extending the space and kind of paying attention to what customers are doing to their Jeeps, you know, kind of in a different surface and going fast in the desert and fast on sand was what we're, you know, kind of expanding to with our desert rated, which is now, you know, in the first Mojave. So as Rubicon is to trail rated, Mojave is to desert rated. So, you know, five criteria: ride control, stability, traction, ground clearance, maneuverability. Desert prowess is kind of the benchmark we have to become a desert rated Jeep. And that means you're ready to go fast in the sand. So it's everything from, you know, really cool suspension setups. We've got a 2.5-inch bypass set of shocks on the front with external reservoirs. And in the back, you know, we even have another front hydraulic system for jounce bumpers. So when you're going fast over the dunes, I can't say jump because my lawyers will get mad at me for saying you jump the Jeep.
It's good alliteration,
though. Jounce bumpers to make it really smooth upon landing, and it's wider. And we've even updated, reinforced the frame and put cast iron steering knuckles to really, so you can run it hard over speed or bumps with that. So it's really about a fast speed Jeep over sand, you know, versus kind of what we've been known for historically with, you know, going slow over the rock. So again, listening to our customers and then making a purpose-built Jeep to react to what the market's evolving into.
Did you guys ever give some consideration to sticking a Hemi under the hood of that one? Because that seems like if you're going to want to go fast, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, you know, let's keep this conversation going at some stage here.
Good.
Because that's good. I will say there is one thing, though, I think we screwed up with the Gladiator. and that's the name. We should have called it the Michigan Pothole Eater. So I can tell you, I was driving home with my wife the first time I had one of those things, and we live on a dirt road here to get to our farm, and it was Pothole Central here a few weeks ago, and I was literally going faster and faster down the road. And kind of aiming at all the potholes, and my wife looked at me and she said, "Why is this thing so smooth?" And it's like, it was the new Mojave, so it was a lot of fun. But since then, I've been trying to go over train tracks as fast as I can, and find all the holes, and it's amazing. Our engineers did a really good job with that Jeep. It looks cool too, eh? When you park it beside anything, it's got a bit of a lift in the front. With its suspension lift, and it really looks like a cool truck.
All right, Tommy and I don't know if you know this, actually bought a Tesla because we felt that eventually everything's going to go electric, and we wanted to see if a Tesla could go off road. So we took a Model X and took it off road, and probably had the scariest moment of my life going ever off roading because I was terrified that I was going to drop the bottom of that thing onto a pointy rock and start a fire that would eventually take the whole mountain out.
Oh, geez. You're responsible for calling in the National Guard.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Automotive journalist, burns down $50 million worth of structures and, evacuates half of Boulder. But the reason we did that is because that electrification is coming. You guys are, at the forefront of that in some ways. And at CES this year, you introduced some interesting plug-in hybrid Wranglers. So kind of tell me where you think that's going and where is Jeep positioning itself in terms of, building either hybrids or electric vehicles that will actually go off-road?
Well, thanks for noticing, because we showed three, we call them 4xe.
Yep.
So it's plug-in hybrid vehicles that are really kind of a natural extension of where Jeep is going. And if you think of what Jeep has got to do right to be pure to its core, is it's got to be really good off-road. And if you look over the years, we've gone from everything from the first automatic locking hubs to viscous couplings and transfer cases to first e-lockers to now real lockers, and all of the really cool things that Jeep has evolved as far as its overall 4x4 leadership. What we're doing with 4xe is a natural extension of that. And if you think about what electric vehicle can do, this is going to be incredible. So provide a whole bunch of torque instantly to the ground in a way that can make it even better off-road. And, of course, it's going to have some really good on-road and some MPGE and some really, great range with all electric. And all of that kind of stuff kind of rallies together to provide, what we're calling our 4xe lineup, in a way that is true to the brand, and then also fun to drive. And as it evolves, will be the most capable Jeeps in the lineup as well. So, think of, going through the craziest trail you can with the doors off and the top off and whisper quiet, with more torque on tap than you could ever imagine. That's, that's what the new 4xe's are going to be all about.
Now, Jim, here's a question for you. The Jeep brand, I think, for so long has been synonymous with getting out into the wilderness, going for adventures, capturing that American spirit. And it seems like for a number of years, the notion people have with electricity is, limited range, onward only. How are you going to convince customers? How are you going to convince potential buyers that you can, in fact, take a technology that's been built on on-road vehicles and transition into the off-road realm? How are you going to make that capability withstand there?
Well, I think, Tommy, that's the piece which I think fits perfect with plug-ins for us. So, you can run it for so many miles on electric, or you can switch it over to run off the engine, or you can do it the other way around, which we think a lot of people are going to do. Think of yourself, at a Moab, you're plugged in, whether it be at the pancake house or at the hotel, but you want to save all your electric for going on the trail for a day or two. You drive out to the trail on gas power, and then flip your Jeep onto electric, and like a lot of people would flip their Jeep onto electric as they're driving into the city in Europe, you flip your Jeep into electric as you're driving onto the trail, and I think that's going to be really what takes all the range anxiety out of it, and really makes these vehicles something you can live with every day.
Are we eventually heading toward a full EV Wrangler? Is that possible?
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Okay. I'm going to go with maybe. Because, look, the problem, of course, with EVs right now is range, right? It's like real estate. You know, it's location, location, location. And Jeeps just, you know, especially Wranglers, just by their design, aren't very aerodynamic. You know, they're not exactly the ideal platform to build something that's going to get a lot of range. And so that's got to be something that your engineers must be wrestling with. Yes, no, maybe.
All right. I don't know.
Fair enough, yeah. Jim. When are we going to be able to see the 4xEs? When are those going to hit the marketplace, the current ones that you've shown already?
Yeah, well, we don't know when the next auto show is going to be. It keeps changing. You know, we just had, unfortunately, Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit got canceled.
And now New York is moving. So, you know, you probably would have been sitting in it next weekend.
Yeah.
You know, but who knows now? But, you know, we'll have to get, you know, that message out and continue to, you know, to deliver what's going to be a really good Jeep and, you know, in keeping with, you know, what the lineup is all about and really help deliver something, you know, that the marketplace is going to look for, I think.
Well, Jeep, thank you, Jim, very much for taking the time to talk with us, giving us some insight into what both Jeep and FCA are doing right now, you know, at a very difficult time for everybody. I guess I would say if you guys are out there and you're, you know, jonesing for some Jeep time, go in your driveway, take the roof off, turn up the radio and drive around the block, you know. I mean, good God.
It still is restorative, you know. There's nothing better than, you know, taking the top off and feeling that freedom. And, you know, whether it's, you know, just as you're driving across, you know, and your neighbor's driveway and then back into your own, or just, you know, sitting there and, you know, throw a fan on the, you know, on the Jeep, you know, take the doors off and you know, enjoy the open air freedom, however you want to. But
I'm sure you guys are still selling your Mopar parts, right? So go get yourself some, you know, a better bumper, a better lift, and you know, slap it on that bad boy while you're stuck at home and do some, you know, wrenching.
It's, you know, the number one vehicle in the world for customization. So, you know, everybody was kind of working really hard and fast to get ready for, to get ready for Moab with their latest mods. And now that they have a few more, you know, weeks until their next trail run, they've got more time, you know, to amp up that mod again and really test it out. So, you know, there's a lot of really cool things as long as you have a Jeep.
Yep, exactly right. Well, thank you once again for coming on the show.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, really appreciate it. Stay safe. And, you know, let's hope that maybe we can get together someplace for the Labor Day safari or something like that. Because
I look forward to that with you guys. You know, Roman and Tommy, you guys are doing a great job, you know, keeping everybody a little bit, you know, entertained with and informed with all the latest videos. And I know, you know, you guys always do one of the best jobs of anybody out there with all of our Easter Jeep Safari concepts. So we'll have to make sure that we get you in those and keep that inspiration and, you know, good feedback flowing, because we love reading your comments as much as we like watching your videos, because, you know, that's where our customers, you know, really give us a chance to connect with them. So keep doing everything you guys do and we'll keep making cool Jeeps.
Well, thank you very much, Jim.
Very kind of you.
Yeah, say hi to Mike and Mark and stay safe.
Take good care.
Okay, yeah, appreciate
it. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.